for that, because this crowd that is here tonight is here for that. And I want to commend you and thank you. This is a great crowd for Tuesday night. Amen. It's going to grow. I know that. But I'm talking about tonight. It's a great crowd. And thank you for being here to hear the word of the Lord. And that's what we're going to hear and minister to you with, the word of God. Praise God. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love and honor, praise and worship, magnify and glorify the wonderful, the mighty, and the powerful name of the Lord. We ask you, Master, to continue to have your way and let your will be done. Let lives be touched, souls be touched, individuals be blessed by the Spirit, by the anointing and the grace and the goodness of God. Somebody shout amen. Mercy, it feels good in here tonight. God bless you as you're seated just now. Praise the Lord. We'll have a number of scriptures we're going to go through here momentarily. So stick with us, take notes, and if you can't stay up, then please get a CD, right? Oh, man, DVDs, CDs, BVDs, I don't know what. Hallelujah. All right, worldliness is a modern giant that is in the world today to threaten the church and to slow down growth and to slow down end-time revival. And so when the world makes inroads into the church, the world is not made better. The church is simply just made worldly. And so we need to do our best to keep the world out of the church. And I'll give you the difference between the two worlds I'm talking about here momentarily. But I've said it before, I'll say it again. We'll never have a revival with a churchy world and a worldly church. There is the world and there is the church. It's so funny, and I hope some of them are watching. Our little modern-day apostolics, you know, they grew up in the church, and now Dad submitted it over to Junior because he's called to preach, and he's ready to go, and he's on fire, and they do that. And that's a good thing. I believe preachers raise preachers, you know, pastors raise pastors, and prophets raise prophets. But when they get to their pulpit and say, okay, guys, we're going to do a new thing, and they got their black lights going, and they got flashes like lightning across, and everything's about music, and everything's about a song, and they're thinking they're doing a new thing. Well, hey, half the church got saved from that. That's not a new thing. I'm just telling you, amen. And they really do, you know. They don't realize that way back in the day, discos had that, bars had that, sports bars had that, and all everything. And I'm not against great lighting, and I'm not against. Look at this, man. You know, and I'm not against a lot of that stuff, but when the church becomes just entertainment and we begin to kick holiness right out the door and say, we don't need that anymore, that's old-fashioned, you better go back to and dig into how your dad and your mother got that, how your grandma and your grandpa got that. Amen. And you better go and dig in as well. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because this stuff comes through prayer and fasting and digging and seeking God. This is not the heartbeat of the world. And the world should not be the heartbeat of the church. Am I right? Amen. And so we've got to constantly guard against worldliness. So the Word of God uses the word world in two different ways. Number one, John 3:16, amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loved that world, amen. And then that's the world of the world as people, praise the Lord. And God loves people. He loves every person in the world, amen. Everyone should have written that down because we need to work on that. And number two, he spoke in the Word of God of a worldly system. 1 John 2:15, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. That's the world that he is telling us not to love. Amen. So what is worldliness? Worldliness is a condition of the heart which is manifest in the way people live and the way they think, the way they talk, and the way that they walk. It's living with warped and unscriptural values. That's worldliness. Amen. It's assigning value to the things that God condemns. That's worldliness. Amen. And worldliness is rejecting God's priority for man's priorities. That's worldliness. Let's look at 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. So the things of the world are the things that we fight. One out of three of our chief enemies is the world. We know that our three enemies are the flesh, the world, and the devil. Amen. It rubs him wrong for me to put him last, and that's why I always do it. Praise God. But worldliness can enter the church through a lot of ways, many different venues and avenues, and we've shared many of them with you already in the last two sessions. Amen. But let me add to that worldliness can enter the church through Hollywood entertainment and all of that industry. Amen. And I want you to hear this tonight, because you're not going to get it on you're not going to get it on TV, you're not going to get it on the radio, and in many cases, and you're not going to get it a lot of other places, because it is not being preached anymore, because we are living in the last day, and in the last day, the Bible lets us know there will be a falling away. So is there not a falling away of holiness? Yes, there is. But in the Bible also said that the latter rain shall be greater than the former rain. Amen. We may lose two, but 10 are on the way. We may lose 10, but 50 are on the way. Praise God. And so we cannot let worldliness enter our home through the industry of Hollywood. Amen. So what we do is we govern it. We use integrity, we use character, and we watch family-oriented things. You young adults, you listen to me, and you listen to me well. Amen. There's no business being out there in your homes or in anybody else's home watching R-rated stuff. Amen. If you do, shame on you, and you need to repent, and you need to go back and rethink some things. And don't think that that spirit won't bleed over into your children, and you're going to have something to pay when the day comes when they become mature. Let's get a grip on this thing. Amen. If we got to have entertainment, make it family oriented. I would to God that everybody would clap your hands right now, that everybody would hear what this pastor's trying to say, trying to save your family, trying to save your children. Amen. And so don't hunger for the things of the world. Amen. And when you say, well, we can't go out there and do it, we may as well watch it. Can't go out there and dress like that, I want to see it. We can't act like that, I want to watch somebody else act like that. Amen. But when you got your eyes on it, it comes into your spirit and becomes a part of you. Amen. So guard your eyes and prevent that kind of Hollywood from coming into your home. Amen. Because the eyes are the doorway through which the world enters in. The heart is affected by what you see. Look at Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51. Amen. Mine eye affecteth my heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hollywood may not be your issue. Somebody else is the way they look. Amen. God made you the way He made you. Hello? And you don't have to be a superhero. And you don't have to be Charles Atlas. You don't have to give your life and guts for the glory of something that God didn't make you into. Be careful and be balanced. Amen. That's all we're asking. We're asking for what the Scripture calls moderation. Amen. And so, mine eye affecteth my heart because of all the daughters of my city. And so we need to understand that your eyes are the doorway through which the world enters in. So don't let your eyes affect your heart in a negative way. So we don't go to movie theaters because we don't control that. You say, I'm going to take my kids to see Bambi. And then the next film that they advertise is The Night of the Living Dead or whatever. Or Linda Lovelace or whatever. Hallelujah. And I don't know what that is. Praise the Lord. And I didn't live for God all my life and I still don't know what that is. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you, we need to stay out of theaters and we need to stay out of places that we have no control over what our children and what our eyes see. Amen. It is uncensored Hollywood. And when Hollywood is uncensored, it's bad. And you know it is. And so there's no reason for high-powered cable up in our houses, you know, with HBO and Cinemax and all those other industries that portray all those rated things. Amen. And you say, that's good preaching, praise God. But I got YouTube. I knew it was coming. I prophesied it 20 years ago. I said, it's going to come a time when you're going to be able to watch filth right there on your wrist. And here it is. Amen. So I'm asking you to get to the altar and don't leave the altar until you leave with some character and with some godly integrity and with a full dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So you can keep the world out of your home and out of your heart. Praise God. Amen. And so these things appeal to the carnal mind, but they feed the spirit of worldliness. People who are holiness minded, they reject these things wholeheartedly without any question about it. Amen. Reasons for holiness minded people to take a firm stand against them. Listen, Hollywood is made up of people whose character and lifestyle is corrupt. It's false, and it's make-believe. I hate to tell you that. Amen. How many of you loved Andy Griffith for all those years? And some people may still have a relationship with it. Barney is the funniest man in the world. Amen. And Gomer Pyle is gay. I'm just telling you. Amen. Just be careful. Amen. Don't stop watching Andy Griffith because it doesn't portray them as they truly are. And it's funny. And Opie, that's family. That's family stuff. That's just, he, all through his life he got taught not to steal, not to cheat, not to lie, and not to be prejudiced. And all of this, just good things all the way through. But understand that nothing in Hollywood is for real. Jesus is real. Being apostolic is real. The Holy Ghost is real. Righteousness is real. The goodness, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost now. All of that is real. Amen. And it's right. So we need to understand. Praise God. We don't have to go there. It's not on the list, but James 3:11, a fountain doesn't send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter water. The next verse, I think, is James 3:12. Can a fig tree, brethren, can it bear olive berries? No. Whatever is on the inside, that's what it's going to bear on the outside. Amen. Praise God. So sin is glamorized graphically and presented most vividly on programming that consists of hate, violence, and lust, and sex, and things of that nature. Amen. So we need to, David said in Psalms 103:3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Praise God. So we wouldn't invite that to come into our home and perform for our children. And so if we wouldn't do that, then don't let it come into your home over the screen. David said, I hate the works of them that set aside the things of God and that will not cleave to me. Isaiah 33, 15 and 16. Are you ready for this? He that walketh rightly or righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that just walks away from that's what that means, that stops his ears from hearing of blood and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. Amen. Praise God. We're commanded to depart from that which is polluted. Micah 2 and 10, arise you and depart, for this is not your rest, because it's polluted. It shall destroy you even with a sore destruction. Amen. If we don't arise and depart from evil, praise God. Amen. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Look at this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and everybody say there is. If any comfort of love, everybody say there is. If any fellowship of the Spirit, and everybody said there certainly is. Any bowels and mercies, and say yes. He said, fulfill you my joy. Now, I don't know how you feel about this scripture, but this is the way I feel about these kind of scriptures. If God's getting ready to tell me about what makes him happy, he's got my attention. I know he's not talking about my joy and what's going to make me happy and my blessings and all of that, but he's talking about his joy. But when he talks about his joy to me from the scripture, he's got my attention. Could he have yours tonight? That you be like-minded. Everybody think alike. Having the same love. Everybody love alike. Being of one accord. Everybody one. Being of one accord. Of one mind. Everybody thinking alike. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Whoa. That means, you know how strong a chain is. Somebody help me. How strong is a chain? It's as strong as its weakest link. Do you know what the Lord just said? You find the weakest link and you esteem them higher than yourself. You think? No, I know if you want to see your height in heaven. Do you hear the word of God? He said that's what brings him joy. He said that's what makes him happy. That's what thrills him. That you can be man enough and that you could be woman enough to love somebody that you don't think is quite high enough more than you love yourself. Let nothing be done through strife. Praise God. Amen. And look not on every man on his own things. In other words, don't just pack it for yourself. Don't just make it for yourself. Don't just gang it up for yourself. Amen. But every man also on the things of others. Look out for your brother. Look out for your sister. Look out for one another. Amen. Let this mind be in you. Why? Because this is the mind that is in Christ Jesus. It gets my attention. Stuff he likes. Stuff he loves. And who's the only people that can give him what he likes? It's the people of God. And if the people of God are not going to do it, the world certainly isn't. And so if we don't do it, he don't get it. And the scripture was given in vain. Amen. Micah 2 and 10. He said, get up and depart, for this is not your rest. It's polluted. It shall destroy you even with a sore destruction. Praise God. All right. And so we reiterate it because the world is that way. Amen. And we do not want to go the way of the world. Praise the Lord. Now, there are biblical standards that we share with you. Amen. There are personal standards. And your personal standards should never be less than biblical standards. Praise God. And then there are our house standards, the church. Amen. Amen. And a lot of that has to do with areas in which we live. I've shared this with you before. Let me go there again. We have new people. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am not about organized sports. I'm just not. Amen. I don't make any apology for that, because we live in an area where organized sports is fun for the children, but it is life to the adults. It is everything to the adults. So while the kids are just having a good time making fouls and making outs and all of this and having a good time, the parents, literally, from Davidson County, and you know it's a fact, the parents are having to go to group therapy to maintain a grip on their attitude and their anger issues. It's like my two boys, when they were little, they'd get in a fight, and I would stop them, and I'd say, I got a question. They'd say, what? Because they were mad, you know. And I'd say, who gets the trophy? I ain't giving nobody a trophy. So if you win this little argument, this little fuss, this little fight, who gets the trophy? You just want to ask grown adults, long after the kids have already made up, you know, they're wiping the blood off their nose and say, man, you popped me good, dude. Wow, that was awesome. And the parents are at it. How dare you, your kid, do that. You know, and just, that referee needs to be fired. That wasn't right. Let's play football. Let's play baseball. Let's play volleyball. Let's do it right out here in the corner of the property somewhere. Amen. And when we do it, you need to be here, because it's hilarious. We have a ball. Hallelujah. Amen. And we get there, and I've seen some of our men, grown men, robust. Man, they can kick the ball to the next county. Some of them do. I think it was Brother Cox or somebody that hit the softball or either kicked the ball, and man, we couldn't even find it. And then they would choose to be on their team, a little four-year-old. And that little four-year-old would run out there and kick the ball and fall backwards on his back, and the ball goes out 6 inches. And another guy comes running up and picks him up, puts him under his arm, and starts running the bases with him. It is a blast. It's unorganized. It's unput together. We're not going to get to go to California if we win. We're not going to get on the bus. And it's just fun. It's just fun. Now, I said all that partially to be funny, partially to get a point across. If this church was in California and my little boy came to me and said, Dad, I want to play baseball, I'd say, yes! And you know why. There's not a lot of boys in California that want to play ball. If they were to testify, they'd say, I tried it and I broke my nails. So you understand what I'm saying? Amen. In a lot of areas, it's cultured. It's not heaven or hell. Amen. It's a culture thing. Praise God. The second person in the Godhead died not long ago. I know that, Dale Earnhardt. And they worshiped him, and they put him right up there beside Jesus if he didn't take his place. And yet he was the intimidator. He'd cuss you out. He'd give you what for if you did anything to him, and if he did anything to you and you didn't like it, then let's deal with it and take care of it, and your mother is this and your daddy is that and all of this. And yet when he died, and that's where we live. And so as a pastor has to deal with that spirit, that stuff. And we're not going to let it in here. We are not going to let it in here. Amen. Amen. And so these are things we talk about year after year. I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody, because people that you offend are hard to win to God. The Bible says that. But understand that these are things we deal with. They may not be heaven or hell issues. Praise the Lord. And so it is with facial hair on a man. You may have never heard this. Amen. But as an apostolic, praise, let me give you some statistics here. I'm not the only one preaching and teaching. Current statistics. In 2017, the United Pentecostal Church International achieved new records for total constituents, ministers, and churches in the U.S. and Canada. We have about 10,400 credentialed ministers, 4,800 churches, including Preacher Points and Daughter Works. Around the world, we have over 40,000 works in 190 nations and 35 territories, with an estimated constituency of 4 million. And so, here's what has been taught since I've been in the church, and that is, men, we ask you to shave. We ask you to be clean shaven. And I don't know, it might have come from the 70s when it was hippies everywhere and hair everywhere and peace, love, and joy, and they were recognized. I don't know, but it stuck. It stuck like it did with IBM when they wouldn't hire you in their corporation unless you shaved your face. It stuck like it did with Disney World when they would not let you work for them if you didn't shave your face. And so we can go to jobs and get high pay and they tell us not to shave and we don't have any problem with it. But coming to the church and they ask you not to and you say, well, how dare you ask me to do something like that? Listen, understand that the church is more valuable than Disney World. It's a lot more valuable than IBM. Amen. And so I don't know if they still hold that standard or not. I am clueless. I am not talking about a heaven or hell issue. Amen. They plucked Jesus' beard. I'm just saying it's another way to separate ourselves from the world. Amen. We ask the platform not to do it. I ask our men in the out here in the sanctuary not to do it. And because we want that outward appeal to the world. In other words, I want the world to know who we are. Amen. And so we're not going to sew our lips up, and we're not going to hang things out of our nostrils, and we're not going to pierce our eyebrows, and we're not going to put bolts through our brains. That's next. I thought I'd prophesy. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we're just going to hang on to the standard we've always had. Praise the Lord. And so what I don't want, because we've got men that have been in this church for a very long time, and I don't want us to fellowship with part of the other 4 million constituents and for them to look at you like you're a new convert, because you're not a new convert. You've been living for God for a very long time. And you deserve that honor and you deserve that respect. And you deserve that appreciation. I don't want people walking up to you and you've been a 10-year veteran in the house of God and they're patting you on the back like you just got into church. Oh, have you prayed through to the Holy Ghost yet? Yeah, about 500 times. Kind of like Cody when he was real little. We'd leave a red-hot service and Cody would come to me and say, Daddy, said, I got the Holy Ghost 4 times. Amen. And so, I hope he's still getting the Holy Ghost 4 times. Praise God. I want the Holy Ghost 4 times. Praise God. Amen. And so we ask our men to hold to that standard. Praise the Lord. And I don't make me feel like I got to tiptoe around here and make me feel I'm being offensive. This stuff is tough. Amen. I could let it go to the wind and we could fill this thing up in 6 months and get Eddie Beamer and Bob Carlott out here. I don't know who they are, but I just don't know who the singers are right now. And so I could get them up here and they could entertain you and we could fill the house up. But that's not a church, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Give us people that have a solid gut feeling to live for God and love the Lord and to separate themselves from the world. Amen. We ask our ladies not to wear their skirts too high. I'm asking the men not to wear shorts. It's a modest thing. Amen. If you think shorts are modest, then wear long pants. They're even more modester. If you want to be modest, go an extra mile. And it's not a mile. It's just a few more inches. Especially when you're like me and your legs are about that long anyway. Praise God. And so, you know, cut, get a haircut. We went through all this last week, and but listen, alcohol, drugs, tobacco, all these things. We need family-oriented things that don't addict and restrict and afflict us. Amen. Let me let you know what we stand for here at Landmark. Praise God. We stand for revival. We stand for evangelism. We stand for church growth. And we stand for the love of holiness. Not just holiness, but the love of holiness. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. How long have we been at it? Are we okay? I really need to go a little extra mile here tonight. Is that okay? Amen. We've already taken up the offering, so it's not going to cost you anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at Psalm 79, verse number 13. So we, thy people, and thy sheep, the sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Did you see that? Show forth our praise to this generation. You can't do what we do on Sunday night on your job on the assembly line. Because if you do, they're going to fire you. You spend 30 minutes doing what we do on Sunday night on your job, and they're going to fire you eventually because you're not getting your job done. But you can still show forth your praise because they saw what you came from, and they see where you are now by your outward appearance. And they will be drawn to you because of your difference. Amen. Somebody say holy. Set apart for sacred use. Amen. Praise God. Do we want to continue to be milk or do we want to become meat? Amen. You heard me say it. If the devil's kids don't want to look like God's kids, then why should God's kids want to look like his? Christians need to be identifiable. They need to be identifiable. Amen. Holiness isn't a bunch of rules and negative things. It's your response and what comes out of your heart in relationship to God's goodness and his word. It's your personal response to God's goodness in your life. Amen. And so I'm not here to fuss. I'm not here to fume and to fight and boss anybody around. I'm simply teaching what pleases God, and Christians ought to be all about that. The Bible talks about sheep. And it talks about goats. We just read it to you. Sheep just need a leader. That's all they need is a leader. And they will follow their leader. Goats, well, that's another story. How do you tell sheep and goats apart? Well, you can't see their spirit. But you can see their exterior. And that's how you can tell sheep and goats apart. You see the outside. Amen. When you can't say it, your clothes will say it for you. Amen. State doesn't wear Carolina blue. Firemen don't wear police uniforms. Are there any Jesus fans here tonight? That's what it's all about. You will look like what you love, what your allegiance belongs to, where your loyalty lies. That's exactly what you will look like. Praise the Lord. Amen. You want to be one of them? I want to be one of them apostolics. If you're part of the sheep pack, come out from the wolf pack. Hallelujah. That is nothing against any kind of ball game or team or anything. The only difference basically is just a little more material between the world and us. 2 or 3 inches should not ever separate you from God. You cannot and will not ever be able to die for Him if you can't add 3 inches to your skirt or to your sleeves. Amen. And do not blur the distinction between the sexes. Don't dress provocative. Amen. If you're not in business, don't advertise. Hallelujah. Me and you and a dog named Boo. Hallelujah. I'm just saying, praise the Lord. Don't confuse your testimony with things of the world. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. Amen. Read it with me. Praise the Lord. Listen to the, listen. In like manner also women adorn themselves in modest apparel, shamefaced, sobriety, not with broidered hair, gold, pearls, or costly array. We explained all of this. But I want you to listen to the volumes of things that the Lord is saying in the scripture. Like manner, as becometh. It's speaking of harmonizing. It's speaking of being suitable, congruent, clothes that go with your confession. Amen. 1 Samuel 16:7. I don't know. I may not have that on there. Praise the Lord. Listen, man looks on the outward, the Bible says in 1 Samuel. But the Lord looks on the heart. All the more reason why we need to dress holy and apart from the world, because the world needs to see what the Lord has put in our heart. If the world can't see it, Jesus can't be it. Be ye holy, even as I am holy, he said. Don't be ashamed sometimes when the devil is in somebody feels and senses the Jesus in you and gives you a hard time. This is real. This is a battleground. You're a soldier. I read that story about a soldier in the Confederate Army, and he had a Confederate jacket on, but he put on Union breeches to protect himself from either side, and both sides shot him. So if you think you can wear both sides and not get hit, go ahead and give it a try. It won't work. We're in this thing or we're not. 1 Corinthians 6 lets us know that we have two ways to glorify God, and that is in your body and in your spirit. Amen. So we've got two opportunities, outside and inside. Calvary bought your body and spirit. The in and the out. So it leaves us with the question, are we goats or are we sheep? Zephaniah 1 and 8. I want you to look at this. Amen. It shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes, the king's children, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. That means it will happen. Amen. Clothed with strange apparel. God's saying is, I am going to punish the ones who dress like the world. Amen. Amen. One translation said that they dress like foreigners. Amen. His people, and I'm not talking about UPC. I'm talking about God's people, are to be identified. We're strangers to this world. This is not, the world is not a Jesus-friendly world. And I say, so what? I am. And this church will always be a Jesus-friendly church. Amen. Praise God. I don't know. Sometimes I want to ask, do we want a puppet or do we want a pastor? There's too many puppets out there. We need pastors, men of God that will stand with the Word of God. Amen. You can't compromise because for any reason, there's no reason to compromise. Look at Joshua 2:18. Amen. Behold, when we came into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread. Everybody shout thread. In the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. Amen. This is all about Rahab. Amen. And her scarlet thread. Praise God. She was saved by a thread. And so we need to take another look if we think our threads don't matter. That's my point. Joshua 7:21. I want you to take a look at Achan. And when God got done with him, that's no wonder he was named Achan. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, everybody say clothes and money, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels of weight, everybody say money, everybody say clothes, and say more money, then I covered them. In other words, I hid them. I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Everybody say, even more money. And so he took the world's clothes, he took the world's money, and he just couldn't get enough of the money. And he took their clothes, he hid that. Why? Because he knew that his people were not allowed to take it and to wear it. It didn't belong to God's people. But yet, Achan took it anyway. He suffered for that. He coveted what the world had. And then eventually, it took his family, it took his children, and it took his relatives. And if you think you can let a little bit of worldliness in because you feel sorry for Junior or you feel sorry for your little girl, amen. Listen to me. When they get in school, let them dress like little men. When they get in school, let them dress like little ladies. And I'm not talking about pants under their dress. Amen. Let them wear the dress minus the pants. And let's let them dress like women. And let's let our little boys dress like little men. There is nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I'll say it until you get it in your head. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. The world may try to tell you there is, but I'm telling you there is nothing wrong with little men being little men, because little men grow up to be big men and little ladies grow up to be big ladies. Amen. Praise God. I'll never forget when my boys were the only apostolics around town in their school, the only ones. And they finally caught on that Carson was not going to, he dressed out, he changed his clothes, but he put those long gym pants on. And the boys finally came to say, "Carson, you don't wear shorts, do you?" He said, "No." And they said, "Why?" He said, "It's my conviction, that's why." And they said, "You know what we're going to do?" And Carson thought he was going to die that day. I'm just kidding. They said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to take you all the way from the first grade, and you're going to graduate, and you're going to be the first one to graduate that never wore shorts." They got on his team instead of him wanting to compromise, instead of him feeling sorry for himself, and mom and dad feeling sorry for him and letting him compromise a little bit. The whole school rallied behind him. Now we've got apostolics everywhere. We've got them in every school. We've got them in every high school. We've got them in elementary school and middle school. When you go and gather around the flags to pray, apostolics are everywhere. And let me tell you this, that's not the only ones that are going to be there. Amen. It's just going to get greater. It's going to get bigger because they're beginning to realize we're not going to eat their bread. We're not going to wear their clothes. We don't want their money. We don't want their titles. We don't want their... Babylonian garment. We don't want that. Amen. We don't want that. What they covet. We don't want that. What they steal for and live for and die for. Amen. Who needs that? Praise God. I want sheep's clothing because we are the sheep of his pasture. Amen. Numbers 15, 38, and 39. Amen. Praise the Lord. What does it say? Speaking to the children of Israel. Amen. Am I not adopted into the family of God? So why don't we just say, "Lord, speak to me." And bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of the garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringes of the borders ribbon of blue. Amen. Now, and it shall be unto you for fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord unto them, that you seek not after your own heart. Everybody say, "My own heart." I can't go my own way. And your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. In other words, it's not calling you that word. It's saying that you chased after those things to the point that you put God on the back burner, and those things were more valuable and more important to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But now, what are those fringes? Those fringes are the same thing they were way back in the Old Testament. They are our garments of holiness that we wear and let the world know we're not chasing after you. Amen. We're not waiting on you. We're not serving you. We're reaching for you because you need what I have found. What is the saying? I want you to look at your clothes and be reminded that you need to obey the Lord. When they came through the land, all other nations knew that they were Hebrews because they were identifiable. We don't have the ribbons of blue, but we do have areas of morality. We've got modesty. We've got biblical guidelines and Christian appearances so that Christians, as Christians, we have a light to this generation. Mark 10 and 50. Look at Bartimaeus. And he, casting away his garment, rose up and came to Jesus. Hallelujah. He cast away his garment. Apparently, the blind wore a particular garment. Amen. And when Jesus came, and he came to Jesus, he began casting that away. Because even he knew that I'm going to be healed and I'm going to get to see and I won't have to wear that same garment that I always wore. And when we have been born again, we don't have to look like that anymore. We don't have to represent that anymore. We don't even have to come close to that anymore. Amen. Mark 5, 15, praise the Lord. And they came and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. And look at this. And had the legion of devil sitting, everybody say, clothed and in his right mind. And because of that, the world was afraid. It is not that they don't want us. It's that they don't understand us. They don't have a clue what page we're on. They don't know where we come from and they don't know where we're going. But when they find out, they stand over and they pray and their makeup just runs down their face. And they come so near the Holy Ghost until I give them about one more Sunday. Amen. And they're so close to baptism because they're finding out, hey, these people aren't crazy like everybody said. They haven't lost their mind like everybody said. According to the Word of God, we're the ones out here losing our minds. We're the ones out here losing our hearts and losing everything. We don't know what we're standing for. We don't know what we believe. We don't know where we're going. But these folks have got their mind made up and they're walking the Scripture all the way to the end. Amen. He was possessed. Now he's sitting clothed. You see, when the devil's gone, we put our clothes on. Three blatant symptoms of demon possession. Number one is violence. Number two is insanity. And number three is nudity. Sounds like our world, doesn't it? Praise God. Now, our world needs us. They don't need wolves in sheep's clothing. And they don't need sheep in wolf's clothing. Revelation 1:13. Praise God. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. You hear it, men? And girt about with a golden girdle. The clothing that men wore in those days, all the way down to the feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. What are we possessed with? What are we marked by? What is the mark that we're going to wear when we leave this world? Is it going to be the mark of the beast or is it going to be the mark of the best? Praise God. Sounds like our world needs us. Amen. Praise God. Jesus was the perfect man. Bible says, mark the perfect man. Praise God. Did we look at Revelation 1:13? Let's go to Revelation 1:13. In the midst of the seven candles. Yeah, we did that. His clothing went down to his feet. Modesty. He set the standards for godly clothing. Amen. There's so much on my mind to preach here tonight, but I just don't have time. Let's go. Let's look at sheep clothes. Sheep's clothing. That's why I wanted to call this sheep shed. There's no sign anywhere, but I still call it the sheep shed. And I will say sheep clothes are for everywhere. Turn to your neighbor and say, our clothing, our Christian clothing is for everywhere. It's for wearing at Walmart. It's for wearing at work. It's for wearing at Target. I don't want us as a church people to display a diversion of our doctrine to the public because that will confuse them even more. If you're in any position of our church especially, I want consistency with ourselves, with our clothing, with our holiness, our righteousness before God. Dress standards need to be held at church and in public. No such thing as a standard at church and another one in the world. You are the temple of God. If you wouldn't wear it in it, don't wear it on it. Amen. Church service attire, let me mention this briefly. Amen. On Tuesdays and Saturdays, we're not quite as strict. Amen. Except for platform. We want the platform to be the same every service. Amen. We don't want any diversities and confusions. We want it the same. Amen. But we know that some people come in from their work. Some people come straight from the job and what have you. I'm not saying don't use deodorant. I'm not saying don't use a little perfume. Come neat, clean, and all that good stuff. Amen. Brush your teeth or look real skinny to people because they're going to look at you afar off. Amen. But on Saturdays and Tuesdays, there's just a little bit of, you know, relaxation about that. Amen. But on Sunday, I want us to dress up. What is the opposite of dress up? Dress down. The world dresses down. Let's dress up for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you have a suit, wear it. But whatever is your best, wear it. Amen. If you wear a suit, wear it right. Wear it right. Amen. Amen. I don't want a 50-year-old man wearing a 12-year-old suit. We got that going on. Not here. Praise the Lord. I hate it, but we're in the end times and you got to preach stuff like this. Isn't that crazy? Amen. We are in an audience with the King, and I want him to be treated as a king. In fact, I want him to be treated as the King of all kings. He deserves my best. I don't want him to have to feel good just because I came. But I want him to feel good because I came as my best. And he'll bless the rest. Amen. So, a drill sergeant, how does that story go? As a drill sergeant, I think what it was is a person of lower rank came in to see his ranking officer and didn't show him any respect. And his ranking officer dismissed himself. And when he went out, he changed clothes. He took the uniform that he was wearing and put it on a hanger. And he stepped back out and he hung it on a hook. And he stepped away from it. And he said, "Son, if you cannot honor me, honor the uniform. Honor what that stands for. Appreciate what that stands for. If you can't honor your sister for who she is, or your brother for who he is, honor his uniform for the God that he's trying to represent. And pray for him that he can come up to your status." Praise God. Amen. So, you know, and how many of you have ever been to criminal court? Don't raise your hand. You'll have other people asking you why. But if you've ever been there, the person that committed a crime looks nothing like he did when he committed that crime. Because his lawyers told him, "You're going to get that haircut and you're going to pull that junk out of your lip and get that stuff out of your nose and get that stuff out of your ears and you're going to clean up because we're going to try to get a jury to say you're not guilty and you can't look like this." And that's the world. They think like that. They want to use those things to their advantage, to their advantage. I want to clean up and present to God my very best to his advantage. I want the world to know that there's still Christians in this world for the glory of God. Amen. They were getting ready to be judged. And so the lawyers made them look their best. I'm waiting to be judged. You're waiting to be judged. Why can't we look our best and support the kingdom of God? Doesn't Christian mean like Christ? He's calling us out so we can come in too to be a witness. Amen. People come to church to find something different, not the same thing that they have out there. Something uplifting, wholesome. Something that looks right, feels like right, talks right. Amen. I'm telling you what we are. Listen to what we're not. We're not anti-government. We're not anti-family. We're not anti-God. And we are for the book. Right? All right. I'm going to bring you a couple of last points and I'll let you go. I apologize for being long, but I'm not long very often. Isaiah 28 and 6. Praise the Lord. "And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate." Everybody say, "Turn the battle to the gate." Turn the battle to the gate. "Strength toward the gate," he said. We shouldn't fight at the kitchen table. We shouldn't fight before bed. Things need to be dealt with at the gate. Never let it in. Meet at the door. God said, "I'll give you strength if you'll turn it at the gate." Amen. The easiest way to train children is not to let them start that which is unpleasing to God inside your home. My children in school and different places had tough times. I realized that. But they were always able to say, "It will not be like this when I get home." Home should never be a battleground. Home should never be a place of cussing, fussing, and a bunch of nonsense. Home should be a sanctuary to your children. And home should have lines drawn. Right? Praise God. Amen. Amen. There's no such thing to me as the age of accountability for children, because what we like to do is put an age on that. And you'd be surprised at what age children can live up to and be unaccountable. That was a concoction of the enemy to rob us of our children. Praise the Lord. That's telling parents that kids don't count. Kids don't matter. Let them go. Let them do. And then when they get about 12 years old, 13 years old, some 16 years old, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be too late. The rules need to be right there at the gate. And if they're 8 years old and they don't understand, they'll understand one day. If they're 6 years old and they don't understand, they'll understand one day. Let me tell you something. Something I feel about your kids. And I know it can't be any of you here. But if your conscience will let you throw in and let your children be thrown out and left out, and you do all this stuff, and they're not made to do it, and you don't teach them to do it, and it's like throwing them out. There's no lines. There's no gate. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to draw lines for them. I'm going to set up a strong gate for them. I'm going to let them know what it is in here. I'm going to let them know what it is in my house. I'm going to let them know what it is in a lot of houses. I'm going to let them know it's not strange. I'm going to let them know that it's what God wants. It's what God hungers for, and it's what God thirsts after. I'm going to let them know that. Amen. Can you say amen? I know that's your attitude, and I know that's your spirit. Praise God. I want to protect them. I want to guide them and lead them. Amen. Praise God. There's something spiritual in you that God wants to bless, and he wants to build. I can meet that at the gate. Amen. This is how close we are to the end. This was common preaching years ago in every denomination, and they're not preaching it now. Men, get involved in the modesty of your homes. I challenge you. You're the priest in that home. Adam was put in the garden to do what? To dress it. And so you control the modesty in your home. Adam was put in the garden to dress it. You're the overseer. Too many women act like men because their husbands act like women. When the bill collector comes, don't send your wife to the door. You step up to the plate. A man with his wife at the mall, I read this story years ago, and a woman came by and with a gownless evening strap. You think I said that backwards. But there's not a whole lot to what any of them wear out there anymore. And, of course, he was staring. And they were on the second story of the mall. He fell over and was hanging on to the ledge, about to fall. And he screamed to his wife, "Help me, honey." And she said, "Help you nothing." Amen. What we need to do before we get in that trouble is to compliment our wives. And we need to brag on their holiness and to brag on their good looks. Oh, man, you are making me sweat now. I could take my coat off. Amen. Encourage her in her challenges to stay modest in an immodest society. Tell her she's beautiful. She's beautiful to you, and she's beautiful to God. Amen. Let us wear our uniform of holiness and righteousness and godliness with a sense of great gratitude and appreciation for the privilege of being identified as a child of God. Let's stand. Thank you for your patience. Praise the Lord. But we don't get to cross these areas many times throughout the year. Amen. But I thank you for sitting with me during this time. Amen. These are tough times. This is tough teaching. It's tough preaching. Amen. There's not a preacher in the world that hadn't rather preach the blessings of God, the miracles of God, the greatness of God, the wonderful stuff that God can do for you. And you might have come down, but God's going to lift you up. And that's all of that's very true, but we need a balance. And we need the full meal deal so we can be healthy as Christians. And holiness and modesty, apparel, appearance, speech, the way we carry ourselves, the way we talk, the way our spirits are, how we feel toward our brothers and sisters. All of that matters. All of that matters. And so we want to find out what these matters are so we can sort them out, live for God accordingly. Amen. So why don't we just lift up and ask the Lord to help us to wear the mark of the best, to take us one day at a time, one step at a time, 1 mile at a time, 1 month, 1 year at a time, and lead us, guide us, and direct us in the paths of righteousness. Let's call on the name of the Lord for His hope. Let's call on the name of the Lord for His help. Holy Ghost, we love You. Jesus, we lift You. We thank You and praise You. We honor You and worship You. Let's take a moment to praise Him. Let's take a moment to worship Him. Take a moment to glorify.